Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. To speak about obedient children. This will be a children's sermon. Now, children, what you need to know is that every sermon really is a children's sermon. We'll get more to that tonight. But this one is, in a special way, children, addressed to you by God. It's a sermon that will instruct you, all of you children, and I see quite a few of you here, how to live a life that is pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sermon that is going to remind you very simply that you are always to obey your parents. This section of the book of Ephesians is what some have called the household codes. It deals with conduct at home. It deals with the transforming power of the gospel in the Christian home. The power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ to make all things new, and particularly to do so in those most fundamental of relationships, the closest of relationships found in the home. It flows naturally from the first half of the book, full of those great indicative declarations of what Christ has done and what the grace of God is and who our God is for us and the forgiveness of sins and turning us from death to life and incorporating us into the body of Christ, the church of the living God. In transforming our personal individual characters from bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking to being tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, as Christ, has forgiven us. The Word of God, and I've been repeating this week after week in this section, goes out in history and reaches into lives and hearts and congregations and marriages and now families and uproots old patterns of sin and makes things new. This is the transformative power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It penetrates all relationships. It ought to, particularly those in the Christian home. And that's repeated again and again in the New Testament letters. We all know to some degree or another that the miseries of this life include broken relationships. And one of the miseries of this life is when parents and children, instead of living in harmony, when they're at odds with each other. You parents know, you children know, that when things are not right between you and mom and dad, do you have a happy heart at that point? No, you have a sad heart. You have a sad heart. You know that that's not the way it's supposed to be. You long for continual harmony, peace. Parents know the griefs and the heartache and the tears of the miseries of this life when children rebel and they turn against the instruction of parents. And children, you need to know, doesn't matter how old you are, you need to know, this brings great sadness and grief to your parents, just like when you feel and know that there's something wrong in your relationship with your mom and dad, that it brings sadness to you. See, all this brokenness just brings sadness and grief to old and to young. And it's always a sign of spiritual problems, that there's something wrong at home. And the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be different in this area than the world. Obedient children are to be the norm in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedient children are to be the norm in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is clear from the command we have before us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. As we study the apostolic expectation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to look at a number of things. Very first, we're going to see children that the Bible speaks directly to you about your conduct at home. The Bible speaks to children. We're going to see some lessons for children and some lessons for the whole church. Second, we're going to look at exactly what the Bible says to you children tonight. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And not only to obey your parents in the Lord, but the only way to obey your parents is indeed in the Lord, which we're going to talk about a relationship to Jesus Christ and how important that is for children. The Bible says more than just obedience in that relationship. The Bible says that there's a promise. That when God speaks to children about obedience, which is hard, He wants to encourage your hearts to obey so that you would be able to do so with joy as unto the Lord. And then we're going to see after that that the family is then the nursery school of Christianity itself. But first, note that the Bible speaks to children. I was thinking about this sermon. I don't think I've ever done this, and maybe it's not the best thing to do. There's a sense in which you preach an entire sermon on the first word of Ephesians chapter 6. Children. Of course, not divorced from its context. But it is such a significant word at this point in the epistle. In other words, could preach a sermon on one word, but not divorced from the whole flow of the book. In other words, a sermon on the significance of the Apostle Paul at this point saying the word children. I don't think I'm going to do that tonight. I might. Depends how things go. But the significance of this word is really staggering. You remember, children, some of you are in my communicants class right now, and we have those three in words about the Bible: inspired, infallible, inerrant. And think about the first one. This word, children, is the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scriptures to the church and to the children of the church. It is a call for your attention, children, and is a direct address by God to you. Now, who are these children? Back at verse 1 again. It's very clear from the context that these are not, it's not the same way that the Apostle Paul is using the word children, for example, in chapter 5, verse 1, where he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." There he's thinking about the relationship of all believers to God. We are the children of God. Here, he's talking about the relationship in the family. Children and parents are referenced here. And, of course, it comes on the heels of marriage, husbands and wives. It is the natural progression of the Apostle Paul's teaching on the Christian home. But a little bit more. It's not just children in relation to parents. Keep asking the question, who are these children? And why did I say this word is so significant? Turn back with me for a moment to chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you see the connection we're starting to make here? The Apostle Paul conceives of the children in Ephesus as being those who are comprehended under the phrase saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus. They're the ones that he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't skip a beat when he says, wives, husbands. You see, we don't think, well, I'm wondering if the wives he's talking about are the wives in the church at Ephesus, yes or no. I wonder if he's talking about the husbands. He's talking about the members of the church of Ephesus. And when he moves on to children, he talks to the children as members of the church at Ephesus, those who are holy, the ones who he addresses with grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the holy ones. The ones who are set apart, they are included in Paul's thinking. 2 verse 11, they were once Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, which is by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands. At one time,
You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When the Apostle Paul says children, he is saying something very powerful. No less powerful than when he says husbands, wives, or later, bondservants. Why does the Apostle Paul say this? Because he is a Jew, an Israelite. Because he understands the covenant family. He understands the nature of the church. We just confessed in the Westminster Confession of Faith, the doctrine of the church. The church consists of all those who profess the true religion and their children. Why do we confess that? Because the inspired apostle addresses the children of the congregation as those who belong to the congregation. Now, can you think of another place where this happens in the Scriptures? Well, the Apostle Paul reminds us of that. Verse 2. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, as the Apostle Paul quotes those words, where does he bring our minds to? Bring our minds to what we read a moment ago, Exodus chapter 20. But I want you to think about the narrative of Exodus chapter 20. Think of Exodus chapter 19. The people of Israel gathered around the mountain, and you have to have in your mind that the living God who inhabits eternity and who makes covenant with his people, when he is speaking from the mountain and he says, honor your father and your mother, he is speaking to the children of Israel. Just as the Spirit here in the Word is speaking to the children of the church. This is Paul's consciousness as an Israelite. And it is rooted in the grand themes of the covenant of grace that span the Old Testament and the New Testament. Genesis 17. God said to Abraham, I will be a God to you and your children after you. I will make an everlasting covenant. Joshua understood this when he stood before Israel. He needed to understand his relationship to be the same as this whole household code in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. David, Psalm 103, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to who? Children's children. Isaiah chapter 40, the place where God declares, some of you know that when I've come in the hospital at the birth of a new baby and encouraging you in often in the overwhelming and daunting task of having another child, of bringing a child up, God declares his power. Isaiah chapter 40, behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him. His work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. And then this little phrase, he will gently lead those who have little ones. Luke 19. Zacchaeus, if you remember children, this song, the wee little man. Short Zacchaeus has climbed up into the sycamore tree. Jesus found him there. And when he finds him, do you remember what he said to Zacchaeus? Today, salvation has come to this house, for he also is a child of Abraham. Not just implications for Zacchaeus, but for his whole house. When the parents bring the little children to Jesus, and the disciples say, no, he doesn't have time for this. Again, the same Lord of glory that speaks from Sinai, that is the Word himself, the author of Ephesians 6, said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Acts 2:39, the apostolic preaching on the very first day of Pentecost. The promise is to you and to your children and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Paul writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. If there is one believing parent in a home, your children are holy. Otherwise, they would be unclean. Holy, belonging to God. You see, Paul, when he writes to you children, understands that the God of the covenant of grace has an interest in the spiritual life of our little ones and the next generation. The Holy Spirit here is inspired scripture. As himself, the God of the covenant of grace, in which he claims us and our children to be his own. When you come to Christ, you come with all that you are and all that you have. Your time, your gifts, your talents, body and soul, and your children. And Christ claims them all. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Again, this reality, if you take one step back as an aside here and you look at this whole household code, wives, husbands, children, and then verse 5, bondservants, the thinking of the Apostle Paul is a perfect overlay to Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, when God says, Abraham, you're going to have a son, you and Sarah are going to have a son, that's the promise, husband and wife, you're going to have a son. My covenant is with you and your descendants after you. And then here's the sign of the covenant. Circumcise, verse 14 of chapter 17, circumcise he who is 8 days old. And then everyone in your house who was born in your house or bought with money. And the great misunderstanding here is that this was an ethnic ceremony. But on that first day, interestingly, Isaac wasn't born yet. And instead what was happening is God was declaring in the covenant of grace from the very beginning that Eliezer of Damascus and Ishmael, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, and a whole house of more than 300 men, if you read in Genesis, that's how big his house was. In you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Here's the sign of my covenant, and it goes through the generations. I am a God of you and your children after you. A spiritual covenant encompassing each house by generations. Which is why the same Apostle Paul, Acts 16:31, to the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Some applications for the church. God has a covenant interest in our children. And when he addresses them, you need to remember that he counts them within the number of the people of God. By virtue of the covenant of grace, he addressed them directly in the old covenant from Sinai. He addresses them directly in the worship of God in the new covenant here in Ephesians chapter 6, also in Colossians. This is both a comfort to believing parents. I often say, I do not know how I could possibly raise children, bring children into the world, without the promises of God to plead concerning our children. A comfort, promises to be lived by, and pleaded before the throne of grace that God would have mercy on the next generation. And children here. This means that God, in worship every week, is speaking to you. You have the privilege of being in worship. This is why we don't have children's church. But we do. We're having it right now. Because the living and powerful Word of God, the preaching of the Word, children, is also for you. Just like it's for wives and for husbands. And God made you, children, listen to me. God made you with a heart, with a mind, He made you with a soul that will last forever. He made you in His image. He made you with the capacity to hear His Word. And you need to pray to Him for the power of the Spirit, that you can understand the Word. And when you hear the good news of Jesus Christ and the commands of God, children, from the earliest age, you need to say, you need to pray and you need to listen. You need to remember. You need to believe. Because here God is talking to you. You need to be listeners. Church is not just for adults. It's for children. Little children can hear, believe, be saved, live for God's glory, obey the Lord Jesus, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we need to pray for and think about the children of our congregation this way, that God would visit them with every blessing of the covenant of grace. Many children, under the ordinary preaching of the Word, thousands of all the generations have heard the Word of God and believe. I know, children, that when I was a little boy, my parents, I'm so grateful to God, faithfully brought me to the house of the Lord. And many times I had a sense, even when I was young, that God was dealing with my soul. Be thankful, children. Listen. Learn, hear, and believe. Now, what does the Bible actually say here to you, children? It says three things. We'll go through those briefly. There's a command. There's the only way to obey the command. And then there's a promise for your encouragement. What's the simple command? Children, obey your parents. Now, children, how many times have you heard this, perhaps, from your parents? You need to obey your mom and dad. But tonight, what I want to remind you is that this isn't just your parents. It's the Lord. It's the Lord who is commanding you to obey. Children, do you ever wonder, sometimes, how is God working in my life? How can I learn more about Him and how to live for Him? One of the simplest ways, children, that God is working in your life is He gave you parents. He gave you parents. And particularly the extraordinary blessing. The generation before you that wants to teach you about the Lord Jesus, His kingdom, power, and glory. You need to listen to your parents. Your parents give you commands. Children, how many of you have heard this one? Clean your room. Ever heard that one? That's a command. Your parents have the authority to give you a command. Clean your room. If you're older, home by 10 p.m. If you're a teenager, you've got all the strength and vigor of life. You've got a little more freedom. You've got a driver's license. You think you can do what you want, when you want. And then all of a sudden, your parents intercede and they say, actually, not whatever you want, when you want. Home by 10 p.m. What do? Stop fighting with your brother or your sister. Anyone heard that one? Help your mother in the kitchen. Or you're a little older. It's not wise to marry him or to marry her because we don't think he or she is godly. Children, obey your parents. God gave your parents the authority to command you. He put you in a family. And one thing, children, teenagers, what you need to remember, sometimes when you're teenagers, there's a remarkable capacity to forget very ordinary things like this one. Your parents had parents too. And they had to listen and obey and learn the same things. Every generation is the same. And He gave us parents to command us. And every generation has to learn the same lessons over and over again. And it's very simple. The text says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, this is the right way to live before the face of God. Listen carefully, children. This includes both your mother and your father. Look at verse 2. Honor your father and your mother, which means that if you are a 17-year-old teenage boy and you think that you can tell your mother off, God says, no, you can't. You may not. It doesn't please the Lord.
means that your father and your mother are those who you honor, respect, and obey at all times, because God's word says this is right. When they tell you what to do, listen to me, children. You do it quickly, cheerfully, and carefully. And the character and aroma of the Christian home is that, parents, you're teaching your children obedience. And children, you're obeying your parents by God's command. But let me ask you a question, children. Is it ever hard to do? I see lots of you children out there. Is this ever hard to do? Are there times when your heart says no? You know, we have a little boy at home, and he's learning the first steps of obedience. But there is a word that my little boy has learned very early in life. And he said it to me just the other day again. And it's a remarkable thing about the human heart. I think I've said this before. I'm 6'2", almost 200 pounds. And he comes about to my knee, and I can look down at him and I can say, "Son, do this." And he looks up at me without any apparent fear and he says, "What? No." No. Why do we say no so quickly? Because it's hard to obey. Why is it hard to obey? Because we're proud? We think we're wiser than our parents? Because we're sinful. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Now, as an aside, getting back to the covenant theology, the higher level here, Paul is actually using here the language of union with Christ. The Lord here is Jesus Christ. And he's using it with application to the children of believers. This is the highest language. And children, to put it in simple words, the Word of God says that you need the grace and help of the Lord Jesus to obey your parents. That you can't do it on your own. At the command, if I were just to say here, "Go home and obey your parents. Obey, obey, obey." That you wouldn't be able to do it because you're sinful. And you're unable to obey without the help of the grace of God. Turn, let me ask you a question. Does obedience, if you're being very, very, very good at home, trying to be as good as you can be, obey everything, do you think your obedience can save you? The Bible tells us that God is angry with sin and with sinners. And if you've disobeyed your parents even once, that God is angry with you. And that you have offended the Lord. And children, if you're anything like me when I was a boy, I disobeyed my parents more than once. It was shameful. It was not obedient the way I should have been. I disobeyed my parents. And I knew in that, in many other ways, that I was a sinner and that I couldn't save myself. That I needed someone else. And you, children, need the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved, both from the guilt of sin, but also the power of sin. In other words, that tendency to disobey that's in you is stronger than you are. You can't fight it on your own. You need to be, to use the language of the text, in Christ, a believer in Jesus Christ, depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to cry out to Him for forgiveness, grace, and mercy. You need to cry out to Him for the love and grace that Jesus Christ, you remember, He loves children. Took the children into His arms, He laid His hands on them, and He blessed them, and He said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." Children, you need to pray for the help, the forgiveness, and the help of the Lord Jesus in order to obey the command to obey your parents. And when you pray, what will He do? Let me tell you how you pray, children. For two things. This is how I teach my own children to pray from their earliest prayers. Lord Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Please wash them away. I disobeyed my parents. I was angry with my brother or my sister. I lied. You need the grace of the Lord Jesus. You need forgiveness. You need that to be washed away. You can't make that clean yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you pray another prayer. Lord, please give me the help I need, the grace I need
to obey your commandments. And the Lord Jesus will hear the cries of little children.
See, this command, parents, you need to understand this. We cannot beat our children into obedience. The only one who can make them truly obedient is our Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be in the Lord. They need to be living this obedience out of the fount of grace, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the work of the Spirit in their hearts, which means, parents, you don't just discipline them. Discipline is a right and good tool. But you are on your knees praying for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to so work in their hearts that your children would be able to obey their parents in the Lord. For this is right. The command, remarkably, for our children is rooted in the reality of our children living out of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even from an early age, they are to be obeying in the Lord, in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to obey. Now, children, sometimes, do you ever have to take medicine that you don't like?
Something that tastes bad. Yep. And that medicine is what? It's your parents tell you it's good for you, right?
But when you taste it, it's hard to believe that that possibly could be good for you, right? Sometimes, when your parents tell you to obey and you've had a hard day and you're discouraged, worn out, and maybe too angry, sometimes you can forget that the Lord's commands are very good and that the best way to live is God's way. And so the Lord gives encouragement here to you children. Listen to this. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And this promise for children, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Children, if you obey your parents out of love to the Lord Jesus, with the help of the Lord Jesus, and with careful obedience to the commands of the Lord Jesus, there is a great promise for children. God will bless you. God will see that obedience. God will remember it. And God will reward it. And if you want to think about this language, this is actually the language of the fullness of all of the promises of the covenant of grace. This is the language that says fullness of salvation. It will be well with you, which means the blessing of the triune covenant God of Israel will rest upon you, children. He will look upon you and give you His very best. And it's not just for now, but you will live long on the earth. And that promise, it reminds us of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. In the old covenant, for they shall inherit the land. In the new covenant, for they shall inherit the earth. Here, blessed are the children who obey their parents out of love to the Lord Jesus, for they will inherit the earth. This is the promise of heaven, ultimately. And the new heavens and the new earth, the promise that God loves and delights in and rewards those who obey Him. God gives promises to you, children. Promises of His love and favor that will last forever for children who, out of love to Christ, obey their parents. And so, when you're young, one of the ways to ask yourself, do I love the Lord? How do I love the Lord is, how do I obey my mom and dad? What is my obedience to them? And then remember that God promises to give you His very best for time and for eternity. For children to obey their parents in the Lord. To live long and be under the blessing of God. Now, children, let me say one more thing. These are urgent things. Very urgent. When God gives commands, when He reminds you of the need, your need for the Lord Jesus Christ, and when He sets His great and precious promises before you, you are called to obey. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to go home, and simply,
quietly, carefully, and joyfully obey your father and your mother. Now, how about the whole church? You can see here, can you not, that these commands don't just have application for our little ones? Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. Your families, parents, are the nursery school of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where you teach the Christian life. It's where you teach the simplicity of the gospel and the forgiveness of sins and the power of obedience that comes through Christ. And that's also where you teach the way of obedience that brings glory to God. And it really is on a small scale, in its simple beauty, a picture of what God would have you and I to do. Remember what our Savior said? He took a little child and He put the child in the middle of His disciples. And He says, unless you become like a little child, you will by no means inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so when you hear these simple commands, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and you hear these precious promises of an inheritance which is really incorruptible, unfading, reserved in heaven for you, you need to purpose to obey the Lord, to live for His glory, to love the Lord Jesus, and parents, in this way, perhaps above all else, to model before the next generation the simplicity and the beauty of the Christian life. Let's pray. Lord our God, we ask now that You would remember us according to Your covenant mercy. And Lord, we do pray before You, lifting up the next generation, our children. Lord, we are thankful for Your great and precious promises, which are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Lord, we are grateful that You are a God who works through the generations, that You always have, and that You will until Christ comes again. Lord, we are grateful that You keep Your covenant and You visit children's children with Your righteousness. Lord, we are amazed at the promises to us and to our children and all that are afar off. Lord, bless these children here, the children of our congregation, that they might be out of a sincere heart of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, with a willingness to ask for forgiveness and more grace, obedient children, or that obedience amongst our number here would shine brightly for the power and grace and glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So transform our homes, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.